Broadcasting live from the KTKK studios in Salt Lake City, Utah, this is the Jack Stockwell radio program. To contact Jack from Salt Lake City, dial 254-5855. And now the consummate voice of sense and sensibility himself, Jack Stockwell.
Hey, good morning, everybody. It's going to be, well, it is just 7:06 and about a dime's worth of seconds. I'm glad to be with you here this morning. Dale Williams sitting in for Jack Stockwell. My friend and compatriot Clint Richardson in with us is this morning because things are a lot better when he's here. There's a wakeful, alert, functioning person here when he's here, so I like it. And they haven't run us off yet, Clint, so let's see what kind of damage we can do
let's
this
do
morning.
It.
It's K-Talk Radio. This is a no-nonsense program when we're here, and I would like to say, you know, when Jack's here, sometimes it's a little bit more entertaining, but it also takes a no-nonsense tone. Nonetheless, we do have fun. We will have open lines this morning. I'll just throw the phone numbers out. It'll be a few minutes. It'll be a little bit here. We're going to get a few things off our chest. That's why we come in here. It isn't to enrich ourselves, that's for sure. It's to blab. It's to agitate. For me, more than anything else, it is to lash back. I smite at thee. You remember that? You remember that Ricardo Montalban character in The Wrath of Khan?
Yeah.
You remember that? Looking up at the sky and shaking his fist at Kirk and the Enterprise, I smite at thee. That is why I'm here. Somehow, I don't know, it makes me feel a little bit better. It doesn't really change anything, and we're going to demonstrate that this morning, I think. We're going to show some concrete examples of how there is not really a political... A democratic process, small d. There is not a democratic process in the Grecian sense, in the sense of the participation of the governed. There really isn't one operating in this country. You can challenge that premise if you want. The phone number is 801-254-5855 in Salt Lake City. In Weber, North Davis County, it's 801-670-5855. Down in Utah County, it's 801-470-5855. You know, as we're talking and your phone calls come in, I'll just put you on hold. If you get on hold this time of the day, this early in the show, you're guaranteed to get on, unless you're a maniac of some kind, you're guaranteed to get on the air today. And we will have a lot of caller participation in general. Listen, Clint, we got a piece of audio that comes out of KSL News. Let me make sure I have that right in terms of an attribution here. Is it right? It's KSL.com. That's right. And it's the final postmortem on the property tax to replace unpopular Salt Lake County police fee. The drama is over now. We're going to talk a little bit about that. But I got to tell you, I had an experience. I had the radio stuck in the side of my little earpiece, and I was out sunning myself about 2 days ago. It's an ugly sight, but I do it up on my roof so nobody can actually see what's going on. The corpulence, the beached. What do I look like? Maybe a narwhal, or some kind of large, marine mammal, I would say. But nobody sees it, so it's like a tree that falls when nobody's around. Nobody can hear it. Anyway, I happen to be listening to a competing station. The discussion was about Rupert Murdoch a little bit and instruments like Fox News. But mostly it was the guest was Ann Coulter. She was on for about a half an hour. And she is being interviewed by Andrew Breitbart, who has been a really active source for big websites like Mike Rivero's WhatReallyHappened.com, Alex Jones's Prison Planet, and... all that kind of thing. You know, they post tons of his stuff. He's been a very active investigative journalist. Anyway, I just was kind of listening to the tenor of Ann Coulter talking about the left, talking about, well, she has a new book out called, Demonic. And it describes the left as a gang. And, you know, a lot of the things she says, I come from a right-wing tradition. And frankly, I look at socialists, super statists, like the folks in the Democratic Party. I look at them very much as a gang. A lot of my views, I suppose, overlap. But anyway, it struck me. It struck me, the vehemence, the hatred, the anger that this woman is evincing for the left. I finally, in a crystalline way, understood what is going on, what the method of the variety of hypnosis that pacifies most of the electorate here. It's a really simple theory, Clint, and I want your comment on it. It is that, and maybe it's, you know, not such a lightning bolt to the listeners, but maybe I won't be able to express. But anyway, here it is. Anybody who is that angry and that righteously indignant has got to be way over on one side. In other words, has got to be, have gotten as far away, politically speaking, from that which they're criticizing as a human being can be. In other words, they're way over on one side of the political spectrum. And by definition, then, that which they're criticizing has got to be all the way over on the other side of the political spectrum, the left. That's called polarity, for those of you who went to the public school like I did and didn't know that word until later in life. That is a polarity. It's two poles. And by definition, that means everything else falls into the bucket in between. You see where I'm going with that, Clint? So far?
Yeah, it's very similar to being able to see the whole ocean, but being trapped in a little glass box in just a little tiny part of the ocean, to where you cannot interact with anything but what's in your little box. Where there's this whole ocean, this whole other, you know, a reef you've never seen over here, and a beautiful kelp forest over here, and it's that paradigm. She is paid to do this. Okay,
she makes a lot of money.
She's paid to do exactly what she's doing, and the same people that pay her to be on the right pay that person on the left to do the same thing back at her. The same people, for instance, General Electric owns Telemundo. The same people who own Telemundo also own the stations that are against immigration and against all these. So all of these things are very controlled things. So she might be angry. Yeah, she might be sincere, but I doubt it.
This is a side argument that we get into, a speculation about whether these people like Glenn Beck actually believe what they're saying and were chosen for that role because they're already out there militating and articulating this thing really well, or whether they're kind of, it's suggested, hey, you know, if you do this, we'll pay it. Whatever. There's probably both. We saw Rush Limbaugh really move over into this left-right magician's trick thing. You know, from the beginning of his career, somewhere within the first several years, he switched right over to total neocon, total left-right paradigm, phony left-right paradigm. But here's what happened. And I think of myself, you know, like sort of the median in the middle in terms of intellect with my audience. You know, I like to think I fall about in the middle with you guys. And so some of you, this will be a revelation to others of you, it's old news. And then a lot of you, it's just, we'll put a finer point on it like it did me. Here it is. All, if you're, you know, that kind of a dogfight cannot be between anything but extreme opposites. Therefore, that is the whole, that's got to be the whole political, that's the two extremes of the political spectrum. And it contains everything. It contains everything between those two poles. Let's call it Ed Schultz, the Democratic, the Democrat broadcaster, the lefty that's put into this little stage play. And so that is what Rupert Murdoch. It isn't just Fox News. It's 16 or 17 other broadcast and print instruments, at least. That is who is paying, that is the individual who has paid for the opinions, paid for your opinion, your worldview. It's bought and paid for. Just like Edward L. Bernays, the father of mass marketing, the nephew of Sigmund Freud, said, you find a, you'll see an item that has been bought and paid for. Here's the problem. You're shown Ann Coulter as an archetype. If you're a right winger, There's, she's the one out actually fighting. She is the knight in shining armor. She or somebody like her. Really swinging, really laying down the vituperation, the sass against these lefties. Then that's who you need to be if you're a good, conscientious, pro-capitalist, pro, you know, small government, limited government person. The only problem is this, ladies and gentlemen. Never out of her mouth will you hear a word about the anti-war right. You listen to this phony magician sleight-of-hand program, and it's on all day long on every station I know of, and they somehow forget to mention millions of people. Ron Paul is an example with all his flaws. Chuck Carter, the Constitution Party president or a presidential nominee in 2008, who's very religious. You may not like his...
Chuck Baldwin.
Did I say Chuck Carter? I meant Chuck Baldwin. They are examples of now millions of people who don't buy the clash of civilizations, the collision of cultures, the destruction of the enemies of Israel and proxy wars fought by primarily the United States military. We don't buy it. And there's no mention of it. There's no mention of it at all in the whole panoply of electronic media. It is an amazing conquest that happened. I don't know how far back it goes. Rupert Murdoch happened to be the public face of it. They'll replace him like a pair of shoes.
We have Operation Mockingbird, which is a very much a real life scenario that took place within the CIA in the 1950s, where the CIA bought and controlled the media. I wish I had my quotes in front of me from that, but basically, the newspapers were printing propaganda. Some of the CBS and some of the other news stations were printing propaganda. They said you could buy a reporter cheaper than a good call girl. I mean, those are some of the quotes that come out of CIA. Now, if anyone is you know, ridiculous enough out there to think that program ever stopped, that program did not become something, you know, hybrid to that, and now the whole thing is controlled by that particular organization. Now, what I want people to understand, and I just made this documentary, The Great Pension Fund Hoax, it's the Corporation Nation Part 2, and I'll tell you what, in there I show you exactly how much government owns and institutional funds owns Fox News, CBS, all of these movie-making companies, all of these ABCs, General Electric, who owns NBC, I believe, Disney. All of these companies are majority owned by government, which means that government is the proxy shareholder, the one that votes for everything that happens in these companies. They hire people from the CIA, like Ann Coulter, like Glenn Beck, like all these guys. We know Anderson Cooper trained for 3 months in the CIA.
It's a CIA family.
Absolutely. So yeah. So you've got, what you've got is a propagandist arm when you're watching the news. And that means that you're basically watching government-sponsored TV. In other words, government voted on and approved TV. And you'll notice anybody that gets on there like Dale will be immediately shunned off, or the questions will suddenly come out. All of a sudden, you'll have hardball questions, but only with people like Dale, only with people like Ron Paul. So, this thing is specifically designed to keep everyone that watches it to the left or to the right, and to put up a wall so that you cannot see that there is a middle ground. And the fact, especially to see that the fact that this country was founded on the fact that both that left and that right are supposed to actually come together and debate, and then, and only then, pass a bill until all parties are satisfied with the bill.
Let's take a break and come back on the great K-Talk Radio, AM 630. You're in the right place.
AM 630, K-Talk. Honest talk, serious solutions.
Long distance in the middle.
We're right back at you at I'll give you an exact reading on the time. It's 7:24 in 5 seconds. Good morning. Good Friday morning to you. I'm glad to be here listening, like yourself, to the Jack Stockwell radio program. I come in as a listener, mostly as a listener. I am a listener. I'm not a broadcaster. My name is Dale Williams. I'm just a guy who comes down as a substitute, a guy out in the audience that comes down to talk to you and to listen to you. And I come down with my friend Clint Richardson, who I did not properly introduce. He is the co-founder and chair of Utah We Are Change, which is has a signature mostly of a 9/11 truth organization, but does all kinds of work, all kinds of truth in media, truth in reporting type of work, a dissemination of good, solid information. We're talking a little bit about the demise of Rupert Murdoch. We're going to report to you this morning as well about the outcome of the police fee and where it went and that whole process, which was also a sleight of hand, shifty, shell game, politician devised deception in terms of it being folded into the property tax. It's been done without any kind of democratic process in truth. But my theory, I want your comment as well. My point was last segment, and then I'll shut up and we'll get into some calls, Clint. But my point was is that this thing, you've done a great background job of describing the media apparatus is all tied into government intelligence organs and government-owned corporations. And, of course, the corporations own the government. The government owns the corporation. But in simple human terms, it's a wonderful treatment of the subconscious mind of a human being. It's just normal when you see two people at each other's throat on an ideological basis. Your subconscious says, there it is. There's the two sides of the argument. That's the end of it. And as you mentioned, there's a third alternative, a huge one. It's getting so heavy, so numerous, that it's becoming embarrassing to watch mass media, television and radio, and listen to the radio and read their lousy publications, because the real, well, conservative, in the sense of conserving our revolutionist values, the real Americans, as I would think of them, they're in the millions, and they don't want this foreign war anymore. They don't want the liability. They don't like the $4 trillion. Let's talk to Jeff real quick, then we'll get to Eagle and Susie. Jeff, what's on your mind?
Hi, this is Jeff. Yeah.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, really quick. First of all, Dale and Clint, it's nice to have you on the air. I feel like I kind of cut to the chase when I listen to your program.
Thank you.
And the other thing, I watched The Matrix last night, and I was thinking, The Matrix, the movie, you could actually take it word for word, just recreate what you see in our everyday life, and it exposes it right there.
I got to cut into you, Jeff. You got me all excited now. Clint, is there a better metaphor in contemporary cinema or anything that you know, the better metaphor than that first Matrix movie for what's going on?
The only one that comes close is They Live. That's the only one.
Go ahead, Jeff. The only one. Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, really quick, I was kind of introduced young to the John Birch Society when I was young. And I learned a lot of truths in a way. But it seems like there was also something missing. And it was like you could see the smoke from the gun, but you couldn't see who pulled the trigger. And it's almost like these people that we're talking about, there's actually levels of the Matrix. And you get to a new level, and of course you have a whole new... So you have to decide you're going to take the green or the blue pill, or the red pill. I think most of us have just decided to take the blue pill.
You know, Jeff, that's the perfect metaphor, actually, what you just said about seeing the smoke but not seeing the gun. And, you know, we constantly blame all of these media companies and all these banks and all these, you know, Walmart stores and all of these, you know, things that are we know that they're destroying us. We know that they're destroying our local business. We know that they're taking our homes, and not even lawfully. And yet we blame them instead of blaming. They are the smoke. They are the bullet. They are the bomb that's dropping. We never can, because we don't understand the ownership structure of these companies, which is hands down government ownership, more than 50% of the stock in every case, government. Because we don't blame or re-regulating and setting rules to stop these corporations from doing it, because it's very profitable to destroy our economy. It's extremely profitable, just like war is extremely profitable, but we never get around to blaming who's at actually fault, the gun, which is government. And that's the tricky part, man. And that's when you take the, when you finally take that red pill, if I've got that correct, when you finally take that red pill and you see this for what it is, that everything else is a game, the Senate, the Congress, everything is a game, it really changes your perspective.
Well, and the other thing is, there's the old saying, all roads lead to Rome.
Mm-hmm.
And I still believe all roads lead to the Vatican when you get right down to it.
Well, we're still paying taxes to them.
Yeah. So I'm with you on that, but I sure appreciate you guys. You guys are awesome.
Thanks, man.
Okay, thanks, Jeff. Call us again. You know, what we're trying to say here, there's one line open, 801-254-5855. What we're trying to say is you can read from the menu. You can sit here and listen to K-Talk or some other radio station and hear this political discourse, but you can't and read, you know, it's like people in a restaurant saying, oh, look, here is, sautéed mushrooms with a New York steak or they have salmon on the menu and go on and on. And it's like a mass psychosis, as if the people having this discussion think they're actually going to be able to order. You can't order. You don't get to order. You get to talk about it and pretend play like there is a representative government here. You're crazy. And I was crazy when I believed it. And that wasn't too long ago.
Wouldn't you agree that the only way that you could ever overcome that false feeling of knowing what's going on was to stop listening to people and actually start doing your own research?
You've got to stop everything and trust your own mind, because that's the thing that's going to make your decision for you anyway. So listen, go within and say, let's be as objective, like I just landed here from another planet, as objective about what's going on as I can, and stop trying to pick between available arguments. Go ahead.
Sorry, and don't you feel like, this is how I feel. I feel like, you know, I spent, 4 hours a day for a while listening to people like Alex Jones, mm-hmm. and even Mike Rivero and all those guys. Yeah. And I came to the point where I could not understand. I could not put the pieces together. And I figured out it's because they're purposely not trying to put the pieces together. It's just a way of confusing you more, these guys. And so the only way to overcome that is to turn those stones over that those guys won't turn over, because
right.
they're not allowed to.
Very few go down the rabbit hole far enough. The only ones I've heard are people talking on tiny little internet radio outlets, frankly. Let's talk to Eagle. Eagle, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Fire away.
Hello.
Your assessment of Glenn Beck has got to be wrong. A man used to come to Utah every 24th of July and speak for the major institutions here. How can he be wrong?
Well, I heard a lengthy audio piece from Mr. Beck, and I'm going to repent right now on the radio. You're absolutely right, Eagle. He was crying. We all know that he can't, you know, he doesn't cry unless he's really got heartfelt sentiments about something. He was avowing his absolute loyalty that he called himself an Israeli. And anybody will do that, my gosh. I mean, I'm going to cease questioning him. You're absolutely right.
So once again, his loyalty was to...
Well, if the apotheosis, there's your $80 word, the pinnacle, the zenith of loyalty to America today in this phony right wing that is described by people like Ann Coulter is loyalty to Israel. That is the signature of a truly great American. You're loyal to Israel, aren't you, Eagle?
Oh, brother, I'll say.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, now, you
wouldn't mind sending some of your boys over into the Bekaa Valley and one starts, when the balloon goes up, right?
Sure, that's the Armageddon of the whole whatever, you know.
Right.
But now let's talk about the next one, Alex Jones. Hey, he is a tool, a little bit different shade than Glenn Beck, but still he's a tool of the establishment. But, gentlemen, you're going to disagree with me on this, because Mr. Ron Paul talks a lot, but he doesn't do a damn thing.
Oh,
all he is a mouth.
Well, you know, it's interesting you mention that, because I have an email in my inbox this morning. I'm going to forward it over to Clinton. Maybe he can scan it during the break. From one Daniel Newby, I don't think he'll mind me mentioning his name on the radio, the ex-founder, he and his wife, of Accountability Utah, which was a very potent, if small in numbers, potent organization. He's got a great analytical mind, this man. And he sent me an analysis of Ron Paul's politics and voting record. And you know what, Eagle? It goes along the lines of what you're saying, that there are aspects of controlled opposition that are represented by Dr. Paul. It's sad. That's true of Alex Jones as well. We've got to wake up to this thing that these folks who are allowed to get really prominent, even though they seem to be, you know, really earnestly opposed to the police state and to the consolidation of global government, all that, sometimes they're ringers.
Well, Eagle, I'll tell you, I am complete concurrence with you. What I think about Ron Paul is that in any other situation, he would actually be a wonderful leader. But he knows that he has to do exactly what he is told by the powers that be, because he has a family, because he has a political career, and because he doesn't want to be caught with a hooker in next week. He's never going to do anything to go against the status quo, and that includes his audit the Fed. Now, that's going to be my subject of my next documentary, is an audit of the Fed simply by pulling up the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report. You'll be shocked at what's in the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report. Ron Paul, unfortunately, is exactly as you say, part of the machine.
Hey, you know, Eagle, I'll tell you somebody who may not, ironically, may not have been part of the machine. And, Clint, I'd like your comment on this as well. And I only say it because of one big piece of evidence. It's a guy who made his money off of the government. He was a government contractor, in effect, making machines that processed Social Security checks and amassed a fortune in the 80s of $3 billion, a guy, a hand grenade with a bad haircut named Ross Perot. Now, the reason I think that he may have been the real thing, regardless of what you think of his policies, he may have been an actual American running for office and viable in that pursuit, was that he was the intelligence organs or somebody that they hired or contractors or whatever, went out and said some things to him that represented a credible threat to his family's well-being, very life. And he said, you know, I've been fishing in a while. I got something else I got to do. I'll see you. And so, what do you think, Eagle? He may have been the real thing.
Well, I'll tell you what. First off, I've only heard... I don't agree with you, okay?
Okay.
I've only heard the name of one person that I think is absolutely neutral or non-biased or doesn't relate to any of them. That's Mr. Dan Newby. The guy is sincere,
right,
in his approach. He doesn't take and mouth the inside. I can't remember the name of the organization right now, but he was the head of an local organization here. And because of his neutral or his unbiased opinion, he got axed.
Who are you referring to?
Dan Newby.
Oh, okay. You're still back on Dan. Yeah, Dan. Yeah, no, it's true. He was given the undilute, triple vitrified whatever corn whiskey, sending it right out over the airwaves. And
now, what was the name of the institution he was working for when he got axed?
I just can't really remember this morning.
Was it the Salt Lake Chamber?
No. It was, wait, here it is. It's the Sutherland Institute.
Oh, no, the Sutherland Institute is next to, Scripture.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, thanks for your call. Anything else, Eagle?
I don't think so.
All right. Thanks for your call
this
morning.
Sir.
Lots of activity on the lines here. I'm checking my time. It's coming up, well, in a minute or so to a break. And, Susie's been waiting very, very patiently. Good morning, Susie.
Oh, good morning. I just wanted to ask, I just thought about Ross Perot before you brought him up. I did vote for that person.
Yeah.
I was pretty sad about what happened to him. And I do like Alex Jones, but he does point a lot of things out. But who knows who's who and what's what. But Michael Savage is one. I know he's on there saying his stuff, too. But sometimes I wonder about where it's coming from. But, you know, he got banned in England, you know. And he's been fighting it.
he occasionally gets off the reservation in a very good way.
Yeah.
But generally, he carries the party line. And I guess you're asking kind of my opinion here.
Yeah.
During the 2008 campaign, he was, you know, one of the most active outlets for ad hominem against Dr. Paul, Ron Paul. He would call him the nut. And he just repeat it and repeat it and repeat it during the debates. So now you have controlled opposition perhaps hammering and validating by hammering another level of controlled opposition. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But he sure as heck was disparaging of Dr. Paul in the context of some of the best things Dr. Paul was saying about a non-interventionist, non-meddling foreign policy. Susie, do you want to hold with me?
Sure, I'm going to ask about something else.
All right, hold that pose. Here comes our break. We're on a fun roller coaster right here on K-Talk Radio. That's what K-Talk is for. Let's take our break, do a little business, and come right back with the Jack Stockwell radio program.
AM 630, K-Talk, Utah's independent radio voice for 45 years.
Okay, we've got lots of calls filing in. We want to finish talking to Susie. Not finish up. You know, we'll give her her due here. We're in no big hurry, but there's an open line, 801-254-5855. You've got the unique institution in broadcast medium, in the broadcast medium called K-Talk Radio. If you've stumbled upon us here at the on the AM dial on 630, we talk to you. It's a live local two-way proposition, so give me a call, 801-254-5855. Susie, I'm going to light your line right back up, and you had another question, another comment.
Oh, yeah, I just a comment about, remember Christ out of 40 days and 40 nights and who appeared to him?
Yeah.
Yeah, they served that angel of, you know what I'm talking about, the devil. Okay, I was going to ask about ACLJ. Does he know anything about the American Center of Law and Justice?
Oh, that sounds like an Israeli front group to me. Anytime I hear American, like American Enterprise Institute or the America-Israel Political Action Committee, AIPAC, or something that sounds real political, I don't want to be too vituperative against too acidic here about the 51st state, but I just from the sound of that, I don't know, Susie. Maybe Clint knows. You ever heard of that one? Say it again. ALJ.
It's American Center for Law and Justice. It's a Christian group of lawyers that are out of Washington D.C.
Okay.
They have Pat Robertson, basically. I guess they used to. I don't know. There's affiliation between Pat Robertson and these people at one time.
Okay.
And they always ask for money, and they're always fighting for the abortion issue and different things going on, you know, people can call up about the school system where someone can't say the Pledge of Allegiance, stuff like that, you know?
Oh. Oh.
And they're on they're on 90, it's at Christian Station, Calvary Chapel on FM radio. They come on from 10 to 10:30.
Well, that's not a program that lawyer attorney Jay Sekulow.
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about.
It is the Israelis. Okay.
Yeah, those are the two, him and his son. And I just wanted to ask, because every time they call, if you donate some money, they always want you to give $100, you know, because they get that thing back, you know, like, what is it called? You know, they have a pledge of whatever, and then and they get double that pledge. And I keep getting, mail through them all the time because I pledged a couple dollars in the past, you know.
Right.
But they've always got these issues, and you're wondering, what are they really fighting for? It's, we won this case, we won that case in front of the Supreme Court, but it's not like the real issues.
Well, I agree. I mean, Mr. Sekulow, who I guess is a convert to Christianity, but he was became, as an attorney, very involved in Christian issues, Christian issues of Christian interest, so to speak, but they were Zionist Christian issues, the Pat Robertson variety of politics, and he has argued before the Supreme Court a number of times, very competent, but he's an Israeli, effectively. He's an American as well.
Don't you think that Mr. Sekulow would convert to Mormonism if he were to run for office here, just like, say, someone like Chaffetz?
I think if he's part of the network, part of the grid, the control grid, he would do whatever he is assigned to do. So anyway, thanks, Susie.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. It's good to hear your voice this morning. You're always chipper. Really appreciate that.
Those darn chipper people.
Chipper. 801-254-5855. Now one line open. We'll get to Bob, the perennial Bob. He's actually a pretty astute political commentator, and I like to...
Got a great voice.
He's got a great set of pipes. I like to tease him a little bit because he's an omnipresent individual here on K-Talk. But we'll get to him. But first, let's take an unscreened call. Your caller, you're on the air.
Hello, this is Matt.
Hi, Matt. Good morning.
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Nice listening to Dale and Cliff there. You guys, you know, I'm a big internet guy, and you guys were just talking about a lot of the guys. I mean, Alex Jones, kind of, you know, him and the, oh, it's the Saudis that control Hollywood, that kind of stuff.
I know. I'm going to let you say your piece, but see, you got me all agitated again. I'm out of control. I'm over-caffeinated, for one thing, Matt. But, you know, Uncle Alex, Alex Jones, there was a schism, you know. He had Mike Rivero on there.
And
Mike Rivero would talk about this shadowy amalgam of interests that we call the New World Order, and he would include the Israeli Zionist component of that, which might be the most potent component. We don't know, but it's certainly a very prominent one. He would talk about that as a regular weekly guest on the Alex Jones show, and basically he was ejected from that position and sent packing, and because of that holistic approach that he would take to reportage on these stories on the conspiracy elements in human society, he was no longer welcome there in the Alex Jones show. So I trust him. Clint, I trust him a lot more than I do Alex Jones, Mike Rivero.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to trust any of these guys because, you know, I kind of follow the money. Like, I listen to a woman who I deeply respect on Republic Radio.
Poe.
Which, you know, I question Republic as well. The station being that it's in Austin and that Austin is one of the CIA's main fronts. Mm-hmm. So, and it's right where Jones is as well. But Deanna Spingola, I think, is one of the most fantastic radio show persons that I've ever listened to. The problem was that it wasn't just Rivero that backed out of Jones because he couldn't talk about Zionism. It was Jeff Rentz. It was several other people that I can't think of right now who backed out. Oh, Alan Watt backed out. A lot of people that I respect backed out of that, so...
Right.
Well, anyway, Matt, you called to say a couple things, and you got in the way of the big mouth, so go ahead and hold forth what's on your mind, and I apologize.
No, I was just kind of going to, when I heard Cliff, again, I've kind of, Rivero to me has been someone who is more onto it than Alex Jones was, and of course, you know, I was aware of the falling out they had and that Rivero had to leave from the show. And it seemed like Rivero had to walk on eggshells because he knew that he could not broach that subject of be too hard on Zionism or Israel or we'd get Alex going wild there. But he couldn't survive it. You know, that's all there was to it. A good blogger, at least I wanted to see if you guys are onto this guy. It's Les Visible, smokingmirrors.blogspot.com. You guys,
he's a fascinating thing to read. I know that. I don't know what to think of him.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that I'll read the blog and I'll just feel so good because he just seems to be dialed in and be very elegant with words and says the things that, of course, he'll never get out there because he says that he's too dialed into the truth, it seems to me. But
well, he's one that is posted on the rents.com site as well, so that helps a lot.
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay, well, Matt, anything else this morning?
That's it. That's all it, right. You guys.
Thanks for calling, Matt.
Thanks, Duke.
And if you've just joined us, I know it's early, and some of you are just joining us. We're having a good, non-controlled, dinosaur-like, in the sense that I think it's a variety of conversation that will be extinct in short order. I really believe that. Conversation. It's a conversation with my friend Clint Richardson, the co-founder of We Are Change, a great documentarian, in my view, good political commentator, and you. And there's an open line, 801-254-5855. Let's talk to good old Bob. What's on your mind, Bob?
Yeah, well, I see I'm against the clock here, but, you know, quickly, I think we're sort of ignoring the fact that essentially there has been a 180-degree shift between our foreign policy on the Mideast. Here we going around supporting the so-called Muslim Brotherhood push, and they, of course, push the extermination of Israel, and they deny its existence to exist, pushing Sharia law. And you have red elements that are involved also going after dissidents like Mubarak in Egypt and Tunisia and currently in Libya. I mean, and these things are discussed in European press. Somehow they don't make ours. I really feel that, I mean, essentially, you talk about a powder keg, and then the Obama administration is going to sell Abrams tanks to Egypt.
Bob, you know what's curious about that? I'll let you carry on, but during the uprising, and I guess that's not over there in Egypt, they're still having some instability, but as a military hardware buff, I saw both M60 tanks, late model 8 M60s that we gave somewhere between 5 and 8,000 of them as a loan to Egypt, and then forgave them. That's the thing people forget, is that the aid to Israel has to be amalgamated with the aid that we give to Egypt to pacify Egypt. You have to take them in as a whole when you start talking about how much it costs to keep Israel afloat over there. But we gave them about 8,000 M60 main battle tanks. But out in the street during the when the army got out during the uprising, Bob, there were M1s. There were Abrams out there too. So I think the idea of a threshold being broken, they might give the states might give Egypt more M1 tanks, but they're already there in some numbers.
Well, that was while Egypt, though, was pivotal in protecting that flank of the state of Israel. And don't get me wrong, I don't support Israel in meddling in our politics. At the same time, I think they have every right to look out for themselves.
No, they do a good job of that.
No, not really. Not when we go around supporting states in the Muslim Brotherhood and the red elements in the Mideast, which essentially, I mean, behind it all, you have not only U.S. oil interests, British oil interests. The biggest seller of oil in the world happens to be Russia. And if you don't think that they'll make trillions if they can take the Mideast offline, to me, that's what I see the whole goal of these people. Not only will it kill millions, all right, but it's to make people a lot of money. And you have brought out yourself a Hegelian dialect in all things. And I would make the suggestion that actually these international elements not only work to make a lot of money in these things, but they will crush, to get the phoenix rising out of the ashes, mm-hmm. that is the red element.
Now, I give you credit, Bob. I don't know, Clint, if you want to cut in here, but there's a very unfortunate thing where the Russians seem to be, I mean, they do seem to be doing a lot of the things that you're talking about, Bob, and they have been, in my mind, driven into partnerships in certain ways, reinforced in their antipathy towards the West, and driven into some kind of partnership with the Chinese, a growing partnership.
It's always been there.
And part of what drives that is the The Eastern Orthodox culture, the Eastern Orthodox Christian culture, is very aware of the power behind the power in the West, that the West is actually a lot more, that is Europe and the United States, and to some extent the Commonwealth countries, is much more a united front, operated, run by an unseen hand that is very closely allied to Israel, and the Russians, that's an active conversation in the Slavic countries, wherever there's the Eastern Orthodox Church, and it survives 70 years of communism. Yeah, and what I'm saying is they see a polarity, and that they're going to be on the bad end of the stick with that bipolar world that still exists, and they embrace the Chinese, at least in part, because of that, in my opinion. It's a very unfortunate thing.
And we're throwing in with Iran, this Muslim Brotherhood, and Sharia law. I think you'll find that, in, of course, Saudi Arabia, the Iranians have said, hey, if Israel attacks, which was always a possibility, if they attack Iran, they will instantly fire their MX on Saudi Arabia.
How are we throwing in, with less than a minute left, how are we throwing in with Iran?
I'll hold.
Now just answer me, Bob, if you would.
Because Iran is a typical so-called supporter of the Muslim Brotherhood. And they, of course, support revolutionary elements
Syria. Iran is actually a huge supporter of the Jewish population in Iran. Jewish and Jews from around the world have come to Iran giving awards and shaking the hand of Iran. There's 25,000 Jews
there. And I think they're safe there. But the idea that the U.S. government is the ally of Iran, I don't get that. Stay with us. We'll be back with you in 7 minutes.
You're listening to Utah's first number one talk station, K-Talk AM 630 KTKK Sandy Salt Lake City. The whole truth and nothing but the truth.
Jack Stockwell.
Broadcasting live from the KTKK studios in Salt Lake City, Utah. This is the Jack Stockwell radio program. To contact Jack from Salt Lake City, dial 254-5855. And now the consummate voice of sense and sensibility himself, Jack Stockwell.
No, Jack, this morning we're going to continue to be available for Jack when he's out of town. That would be Dale Williams, and from time to time I bring a great guy to have in studio, which is bring along Clint Richardson, if I can get my mouth out of the way of what I'm trying to say this morning. Anyway, you've got K-Talk Radio. The little voice just said that. It's a unique resource to the community. It will offend sometimes. It will ingratiate itself with you. It'll buttress you in what your worldview is. It'll attempt to crack your paradigm sometimes. It does all kinds of things. It's a freewheeling, open exchange of ideas and of opinions. And I'm glad that you've joined us. If you're online, that is, if you're on the telephone lines holding, you're going to get up in front of our large Jack Stockwell radio audience this morning. I'll be here when Jack is out of town, but that phenomenon is tapering off to an end by all indications. And so, once again, if you want to get your hooks into me, or into Clint, for that matter, who's been my companion and been so effective here for so many iterations of our substitutions, this is the time to do it. The lines will clear in time, and the primary number is 801-254-5855 in Salt Lake City. In Utah County, it's 801-470-5855. In Weber, North Davis County, 801-670-5855. Now, I've got Clint, we short shrifted you last hour, and I want to kind of let you hold forth on whatever it is that's stuck in your craw, but I have some callers that I'd like to get initiated.
Is Bob still on the line?
Negative.
Oh, okay.
Negative. But
I had some information for Bob.
Well, let's let you comment on that. But we have extraordinarily long wait times built up on a couple of our callers, so I want to get right to them at the outset of the show. Let's talk to Marianne. I don't think you and I have spoken before. Good morning. Is it Marianne or Marianne?
No, it's
Oh, okay. That is the wrong line. Let's try line three. And straighten me up on that first name, caller.
Hi, it's Marion.
Marion, there you go. All right, Marion, fire away.
Well, I was listening to you for the last hour, and you mentioned so many interesting things. Glenn Beck, did Glenn Beck melt down on the radio about Israel?
I don't think it was. I don't think it was on the radio. He was in a different mode. And you got to understand, this guy is the thespian of thespians. He can turn on the waterworks in a second.
He's
incredibly manipulative. It's amazing the people who fall for it. This was as I understand it, it was a speech in front of a strong Christian Zionist audience. I don't know if it was in the States or in Israel, but it was an amazing thing to listen to.
Well, I have an interesting book about Israel on that topic.
Okay.
It's called Dangerous Liaison by Andrew Coburn. It's spelled C-O-C-K, Burn, Cockburn. Mm-hmm. Andrew Coburn, I think he was in the State Department. It's called Dangerous Liaison, and he describes in that book exactly how the Israelis recruit famous people, influential people. They take them all around the country, show them all the sites, you know, the Holocaust Museum, the Army, and they say, please help us. And Glenn Beck has been over there a few times now, and he is a recruit.
Well, listen, a friend of mine just came back from a large scout, Boy Scout gathering, Boy Scouts of America, in Wyoming. It wasn't the Trek gathering. It was another part of Wyoming, very large gathering, primarily LDS boys because of the locale. The Israelis were there.
The
Israeli flag and the American flag were flying in camp side by side, the same size, draped from the front of the largest facility at the camp.
When was that, this summer?
That was about 3 days ago, days ago. And there was an Israeli entertainment troupe of, say, 14, 15-year-olds, singers and dancers there, dressed. They look like little IDF soldiers. They are dressed in khaki. Dressed in khaki and doing the job, and their manager was the spitting image, according to my friend who was there as a parent helper. He was the spitting image of Michael Chertoff, and I'm sorry, I just had to throw that in. I have pictures of him that my friend sent.
Well, anyway, that Dangerous Liaison book is about 10 or 15 years old, and he describes in there exactly what Glenn Beck and other media people and politicians have been put through.
Well, I'll have to check that out.
It's a script. It's a script they go through. It's the itinerary is all set out.
You know, this is what's funny about that is that is a multi-level function of the ADL and AIPAC and all of these organizations, because they also take high school students who are about to graduate. There's a great movie called Defamation. If you haven't seen that, you must see that.
I'll see
because
that.
They take these innocent, beautiful children that just don't have a care in the world, and they take them through their fake Holocaust museums. Show them big bundles of hair and shoes and stuff and say that those were the gassed people.
Mm-hmm.
And they turn these kids, these white kids, into people who hate the Gentile race and become very, very, very race-based and race haters. And it's amazing to see the transformation. And this goes on from childhood, as you just discussed in the Scouts, through high school, through college. Political spectrum and through business. It's amazing what they've got set up.
It's standard brainwashing theater kind of stuff.
Well, when you own the Seagram's alcohol empire, like Ed Bronfman, I think it's Seagram's, isn't it? Then you can throw a lot of money around. He's the bag man for probably I don't know, monies from other sources as well. We don't know. We'll never know. But he's the guy who bankrolls a lot of that indoctrination and those trips over to Israel that get young people founded in their their heritage, so to speak. You know.
Let's go a lot farther here. Let's talk about Estee Lauder, Ronald Lauder, the billionaire. is involved in the Conference of Presidents of Major Jewish Organizations, Jewish National Fund, World Jewish Congress, American Jewish Joint Distribution Committee, Anti-Defamation League, Jewish Theological Seminary.
Well,
you've got AOL Time Warner, allocates 30% of investment portfolio to Israel. You've got Starbucks Coffee, one of the major contributors to Israel. Coca-Cola Company since
you got the rest of the day?
Since 1966. All of the stores in the mall, the Disney Corporation,
yeah.
McDonald's restaurants. I could go on and on and on.
Oh,
all,
you are just
all.
A font of information. I love it. I love you guys.
All right. Hey, thanks, Marion. We got a ton of people. And,
alrighty.
Thank you. And now we've got, of course, people agitated.
Okay, good.
And I appreciate your input this morning very much. Another very nice voice. Hey, I guess I'm revealing my lack of female companionship. I enjoy just the sound of nice female voices. I admit it, even though I'm 50 and probably getting up to the where it's all moot pretty soon. But anyway, let's talk to Arkansas Dave, and then we'll talk to old Doc, and then an unscreened call. Arkansas Dave, what's on your mind?
Hey, Oakland, how are you doing today?
Good morning.
Hello.
I was just curious. There's something I noticed in the control news media.
Ooh, what a terrible connection! Are you on speaker, Dave?
Let me move around the house here on my cell phone.
All right, speak right into the mic, please. Go ahead.
Okay, is this better or
better?
Or,
better.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Anyway, the control news media. May we had just lots of reports about Barack Obama's birth certificate, and then on cue, here's the thing I want you to comment about. On cue, everyone dropped it. I mean, Alex Jones dropped it. I haven't heard a K-Talk host talk about it. It's like someone in Washington, D.C. flipped a switch, and every news media dropped it. I mean, just like that. The guy was born in Kenya. He's not an American national. He's not eligible to be president. And on cue, every news media in America dropped the subject of the birth certificate.
I've never seen a more uniformly presented front than the ridicule that was presented by the mass media. I mean, just they didn't even, a lot of the commentators and pundits didn't even talk about the birth issue, the birther issue as they've wanted. They just went right to full ridicule that it is the signature of a nut job to even bring it up. It was an amazing display, Clint.
Again, there are people, my basic rule whenever I listen to anybody on the radio, I look at one thing and one thing only. Do they make money from what they're doing? And 9 times out of 10, they're not. But you got Alex Jones at one point there he's probably making more now, but he's making $80,000 a week, take home pay. You've got, Rents making money. You've got all these guys making money. Now, Dale and I are poor paupers at this point.
I prefer Poe.
So if you listen to a guy named JB out on the East Coast, I can't remember where he's from exactly, but he's actually a direct descendant of I think Alexander Hamilton. And he has a show there, and he had all four people on his radio show, a live syndicated broadcast. One was a military guy, one was Corsi, one was, and two other guys that I can't remember the names. But one of the most important things that got brought up was the fact that the Senate actually had a hearing on Senator McCain when they were trying to decide if Senator McCain was a natural-born citizen. And they set up what it is to be a natural-born citizen in that hearing. And Barack Obama does not qualify as a natural-born citizen according to that senatorial hearing that they have. So even under their own terms that they set for McCain to run, Obama doesn't qualify. Now, is this getting out on the news? No. Are books being written about it? Sure. But, yeah, you're right, man. It dropped like a hotcake real quick. And anybody that talks about it, they call me a truther for trying to talk about 9/11. Now they call me a birther for trying to say, look, he doesn't even pass the Senate. The Senate already decided what a natural-born citizen is, and he doesn't even pass that. But they're ignoring it.
Just everyone, I just wanted to alert everyone to the fact that we're being told what to think instead of being allowed to think, or we don't get to tell our elected officials what we want. They tell us. So some big think tank, some little globalist little genius Illuminati think tank decides what we're going to do, and we have to do it, instead of us being a free republic democracy.
And it starts in the public education system.
Did I say anything that made any sense?
yes, you did. Thanks, Arkansas Dave. Thanks for your call this morning. Appreciate it. Coming up to a break in a couple of minutes, we'll get to old Doc. Doc, I think I'm going to take this unscreen call, and then you'll bring up the tail end. So hold that pose. Utah County, you're on the air.
You asked me to hang on.
Oh, that's the double dipper. We don't double dip this morning. Let's talk to old Doc. Doc, go ahead.
Yeah, I guess you really opened up a can of worms.
Yeah.
I guess with this new property valuation situation that they've increased your property taxes from $500 a month to $600 a month. I don't know what your property taxes are. I haven't got on the internet and checked them out. I don't know where you live. But maybe you were incorporated at one time. Maybe you're part of Granite City out there.
Well, listen, Doc, you know, now that we've handled some of the calls that had stacked up from last hour, that had waited a long time in our first segment, it is, you know, it's a public forum more than anything, this program. Now that we've done some of that work and cleared our lines, on the other side of the break, we're going to jump right into this question about the police fee morphing into a little bit more property tax. So you stay tuned with that. Any comment before we go to break?
Not really.
All right, Doc. Well, keep listening. We appreciate that. That clears all lines. By golly, it's an absolutely open board now. You'll find a lot of hosts don't reveal that they don't have any calls on hold. I don't know. I think it's like, you know, part of the shtick of a talk show host. You're supposed to pretend your lines are full all the time. I detect that all the time in hosts, and it makes me laugh. There are open lines, 801-254-5855. Join us. We'll be back in a minute or so.
The Voice of Utah, AM 630 K-Talk.
K-Talk.com.
Number one for the most live, local, two-way talk.
Hello, I love you, won't you tell me your name? Hello, I love you, let me jump in your game. Hello, I love you, won't you tell me your name? Hello.
All right, that's us. That's us back. At 8:21, oh, lots of things going on in the booth here. Lots of processing of data and moving about. But we're back behind the microphones and back trying to get your attention and interested in what you want to say. I've got one call on hold, but we had this audio, Clint, that it was kind of our purpose to get in the middle of this audio anyway. Let's play it, and then I'll get your comment and some of the callers' comment. Now, maybe a little background, real quick, Clint Richardson. Exhibited the very aberrant behavior, I suppose, of going out and trying to talk to some of the appointed politicians and a few elected politicians whose job it was, in my mind, to foist this police fee onto the people of Salt Lake County in the form of additional property tax. We talked to some of the apparatchiks, and most of all, we talked to people coming and going from these dog and pony shows that they held, maybe a half a dozen of them, these meetings, supposedly, where the public could make their sentiments felt about what the best way to finance the police, the county sheriff's department, or the UPD, actually, the Unified Police Department. And we encountered almost uniformly people who were aggravated as all get out about what was going on and about the fees, the enrichment that was going to be caused by laying these additional taxes on. Anyway, but the outcome now, predictably, is here. And let's play this piece of audio. It pretty much explains. It's from KSL.
The Salt Lake County Council voted today in a preliminary procedure to replace its much-maligned police fee with a property tax. John Daly tells us the change follows a vote by Utah lawmakers to strip the county of the ability to collect a fee to pay for law enforcement.
Well, Bruce, that's exactly right. That decision came after the county was trying to figure out a way to pay for police services in the unincorporated part of the county, which costs more than $11 million a year.
Sales tax revenues provide the bulk of funding for municipal services, including police. Thanks to a rough recession, those revenues dropped sharply by 30%. The county made cuts, but still needed to raise millions to make up for the gap. The solution? A fee for police service enacted in 2009, which proved very unpopular. Lawmakers forced the county council to find another route. Today they did, voting to replace the police fee with property tax.
Because it's based on property value, not use of services, most residents will pay less.
We have no choice. You have to fund your police department. You have to provide the public safety. And we're doing it in the most economical way possible and responding to the people's need to do away with the fee and find another way of doing it.
The tax will be levied by the Salt Lake Valley Law Enforcement Service Area. County leaders say the owner of an average home valued at $220,000 will see their tax burden go down by $70. Those with homes valued over $400,000 will pay more. So will large landowners like Kennecott, which will pay $3 million more, but likes the new plan better. A spokesperson calls it more appropriate and a much more open process. The sheriff says the new plan provides stability and accountability.
The only way this can go up is with a very robust public hearing process and with a lot of accountability. So that's what the citizens have demanded. That's what this gives them. But from an administrative perspective, it's a good revenue source for a critical service.
Now, this is not the final vote. It must still be voted on again by the county council in their budget for next year and also the board of trustees for the new Salt Lake Valley Law Enforcement Service Area.
Okay, thanks to KSL for that little piece of reportage. You were probably making the error that I was talking about at the beginning of the show and which I've made for years, Clint. That is to think that you could go out and do anything about this. I don't know. I'm just baiting you a little bit. What's your comment on
this? You know what? It's not a happy moment for me, to say the least, but it is what you might call, and I hate to say it, it's an I told you so moment. I told you this was going to happen. And, you know, the fact that they came out after all the people came out to their little fake meetings where they spent tens of thousands of dollars to put up those billboards that told you they were going to raise your property tax, pretty much sold you on the idea that your property tax was going to be raised and that the police fee, that ship has sailed, all of these just little clever catchphrases and everything. You know what? Guess after all the people that said, no, we don't want this, you're crooks, we don't want this, unanimously, 2 weeks after the last meeting,
right,
they vote to raise your property taxes. This was not at all a public vote. This was just the county council voting on your behalf.
This was about as public or as democratic as when Mike Leavitt and John Huntsman Jr. and some other big wigs from Utah get together with some government leaders and say, envision Utah 2040, we like it, which is Agenda 21, yeah, the UN-vetted Agenda 21. And that's about how democratic this process was. None of this is democratic.
No, listen.
It's a shine job.
This is... Boy, if nobody understands the process of what Bob mentioned earlier, which is the Hegelian dialect, the problem, reaction, solution. So let's talk about what happened here. Okay, problem. We want a unified police force. And when I say we, I mean the governors, the mayors, so that they have their own private police force that they're in charge of, okay? So we want this unified police force, and the federal government's going to give us a big load of money,
right,
in order to accomplish this. Okay,
because it
so our
their
problem
purposes.
Is, our problem is this is a completely unlawful, illegal way of doing it. So reaction: hire a private company to come in, canvas your area, decide how much money you'll pay as a police fee, establish a unified police district where all of the sheriff's officers, the actual sheriff's deputies, go over to that function, that entity, and are no longer sheriffs. You've lost your sheriff. Okay, we've told you about this too. You've lost your sheriff. Anybody going to do anything about that out there? I don't know.
Can I pause you for a second?
Sure.
You know, get cocked and locked and reload. Put your 8-round clip back in your M1 Garand, your new one. I ask you the question. And I'm over-caffeinated. I'm sorry to cut into you, Clint, but I want to simplify this. Folks, this is Dale Williams talking to you. Jack Stockwell was good enough to let me come in and irritate you this morning. And for what it's worth, the trouble I took to come down here, here's what I want to know from you. If you have a sheriff, and he, in his sheriff's department, has 450 or 500 deputies one day, and the next day he has a token number of deputies that do admit some kind of administrative or security work at the jail and in the courtroom, I want you to call me and tell me why you think you still have a sheriff, regardless of what his title is. A sheriff is a guy who has deputies out on the street, who has a sheriff's department, a real law enforcement entity, separate from municipal police. That's a tradition in the United States, so that there's some kind of check and balance. Carry on, Clint.
Well, I thought I was angry. look, we've covered so many things in this little fortunate time that we've had together. We've covered HB 116, which is the most ridiculous concept ever I've seen in a bill. But inside that bill, almost half of the bill, we also covered the protected records section, which is already law, which means that you, the people, no longer have access to public records. Okay? We have the sheriff who sold his county. We have the police fee and the property tax that we brought to you. So Helgalian dialect, well, of course, you create this entity, this UPD, this private corporate structure that is no longer a lawful entity like the sheriff's office. And then you have, I mean, it's ridiculous. Then you take a step back, you take two steps forward, you do all this bad stuff, and then you take one step back. Oh, well, we'll get rid of the police fee. We're good guys, and we'll raise your property tax instead. You've just perfectly created a problem, a reaction, and a solution. The solution being that you got your unified police department, you got your extra money that you wanted to come in to your little entities that you created, your districts, and people apparently don't care. And that's what I'm really bothered about. Even as the National Governors Association is meeting, or was meeting, last week, in Utah here, in Salt Lake City, talking about selling American land to China, nobody cares. I am honestly, right now, I am sounding, I've heard other hosts on other radio stations say this before, but I'm telling you right now that I am sounding my own personal red alert. We have just crossed over into a point of no return. We are in a red alert status here, meaning that this kind of thing, this two steps forward, one step back, is going to keep happening. It's going to keep happening because you people aren't doing anything about it. And I'm sorry to chastise you right now, but nobody is doing anything. We know these guys are crooks. We know they're committing criminal activity. We got a mayor over in Draper who is eminent domaining left and right and investing in the properties that he's eminent domaining. The crime here, I mean, I moved from L.A. I moved from Los Angeles because I thought it was full of crime. But this place is organized crime. I'm sorry, people, but we are in red, red, red alert. If there was a color stronger than red, it would be red. And you know what the problem is? The real problem here? Man, incrementalism, because this is happening in a way that it's not like some sudden thing that's happening that's making you cock and lock your guns. It's not making you get a rope. It's not making you storm the Capitol to get these guys out of there, because they're doing it slowly, and they've been doing it slowly over so long of a time that you don't see it. You don't see the grass grow. But it's gotten to the point now where now they can expedite the process of making this a police state. And they have, and still you're doing nothing. You're waiting for that one moment, that one thing where they cross the line. But you know what? They're never going to cross the line because you keep putting the line back. And there's no wall behind you. So all of you people out there who say, well, they're not going to take my guns. Yes, they're going to take your guns eventually. They're going to do everything that you say that they are not going to do because you're not doing anything about it. It's incremental change that you don't see. You notice it. You notice the grass is a little greener today and it's a little higher. But geez, guys, what are you going to do about this? You know these guys are committing crimes against you. They're in a position of power, and they're assigning power to themselves. They're
That's right. That's right. I mean, they are defining
their own appropriations committee are giving themselves more money.
This cycle with the sheriff and the county board, the three-man board, and their little exercise that was supposed to be, you know, cover their responsibilities, their obligations to support the democratic process, to make this a public-private, you know, kind of a synthesis, is a perfect little example. You had a cycle that lasted, what, a few months, Clint?
Yeah.
You know, they did their little exercise. It's happening on every level, especially with National ID and with Agenda 21. I want to play a little piece of audio from Dr. Paul talking about National ID and then a comment about some of the forces out there that try to thwart what you and I are trying to accomplish here in our own little way, Clint Richardson.
A national tamper-proof ID card.
Yeah, I think that's critical.
They have to have a document.
A national special card.
Absolutely.
A tamper-proof card, a database.
Name, date, birth date, biographic information.
Dr. Paul.
I am absolutely opposed to a national ID card. This is a total contradiction of what a free society is all about. The purpose of government is to protect the secrecy and the privacy of all individuals, not the secrecy of government. We don't need a national ID card.
Ron Paul is completely uninterested in telling other people what you are being told.
All right, that's a little promotional video for Ron Paul, Liberty Recut, it's called. But the point is, Clint Richardson, honestly, in the time, we got a full board, we got to get to some calls. But in the time you're speaking, I was sort of multitasking. I was listening to what you say. I found it very inspiring. But there is an element that I've got to mention, too, and that is that we don't want to get into this too deeply and with too fine a point because it then jeopardizes our longevity, which isn't very good down here anyway. But HB 1616, you mentioned, had a massive secrecy component, government secrecy component.
Unbelievable.
That was the following. I wrote down five things that are constantly refuted by our colleagues, our broadcast colleagues. Five things that we've worked on. The secrecy component of HB 116, that was debunked, supposedly. The wrongness, in fact, what should be the illegality of the sheriff's department being corporatized and being consolidated into the UPD with a bunch of municipal police departments. The dual citizen, now national and international politics, the dual citizen control of American foreign policy, the control network that operates within the State Department, within the executive branch of government to control America's warfighting activities and its foreign policy.
In other words, citizens of other countries running America.
Yes, and particularly one country in particular. Number four, 9/11 truth, represented as some kind of a fanatical, cult-like adhesion or preoccupation, a little bit like Scientology or something. And then E-Verify, which is ultimately the equivalent of national ID, trying to warn people. We have tried to warn people about the terrible, insidious nature of getting involved with E-Verify. All five of those things have been, you know, abominated, debunked, ridiculed. I just have to say that. I've got to say that I don't want to sit here and watch somebody who, in earnest, risks their hide like you and not point out that it is not just certain people in the audience, it's some of our colleagues.
Well, trust me, man, the thought of quitting doing this and stop putting myself in the you know, first line to get thrown in jail or worse, If there is something worse, it occurs to me because apparently no one's listening. That's how I feel. Yeah, we get praise from some of the callers. We get a little, you know, other mm-hmm. from other callers. Yeah. But, you know, and let me just say, I'm going to say this to you. I don't know how to say it without sounding, okay. Everything that I've said on this program, for the most part, has been completely backed and sourced from day one. And I think that's why you have me in here, because I bring my little computer in here. I look things up. Everything is absolutely true and sourced.
That and the fact that you act like a man.
So I'm here to tell you, anybody that's listening, please, please look into what E-Verify is. It sounds logical because the people who are promoting it make it sound logical, but it is the most illogical possible thing that you could possibly do. And I am saying it. I've done my research. Trust me, in a big, big way.
It's government empowering in a dreadful way.
You're giving the same government that is not enforcing immigration law the power to do something about immigration. It doesn't make sense. It's illogical. The whole purpose of HB 116 was to get the people who are promoting E-Verify so that E-Verify could be passed in this state. Problem, reaction, solution. Do you think HB 116 is in any way a lawful bill? No, but it's going to get E-Verify in because of who's promoting it.
Yeah, there's your dialectic, your Hegelian dialectic. Stay with us. Final segment coming up.
AM 630, K-Talk. Utah's oldest, most trusted talk station.
Live with you, K-Talk Radio. It's 8:43, the final segment of the Jack Stockwell radio program. There's a line of two open at 801-254-5855. We have Ben, Chris, Mike, sound like all good callers, waiting, and we'll get to you in just a moment. You wanted to sort of put a period at the end of that sentence, Clint, from last segment.
Well, we just had a caller call in and say, wait, what's wrong with E-Verify? And my best answer to that is a little company called IBM around the year, 39, 42, somewhere around there, World War II. See, IBM was the company that made these little tattoos that you could put on people's little punch cards and stuff that you could put on people's arms. And the only reason that the Nazi Party did not have E-Verify and had IBM punch cards instead of E-Verify is because they weren't in the digital age yet. It's as simple as that. This is what E-Verify is. It is a national ID where all of your personal information is going to be tracked, your race, your nationality, every single thing, who's in your family, where you live, where you work. And that information, guess what? It's on an RFID type of format. So anybody can take that and lift that from the dang card.
That's radio frequency identification.
Yes. And so, mm-hmm. So do you want a national card? Do you want papers, please? Because you're going to have eventually just a wristlet, a bracelet. That when they say papers, please, they're not even going to say it. They're just going to point their little scanner at you, and they're going to take your reading, and that's going to be your national ID. This is the mark of the beast. That's what's wrong with E-Verify.
That's off-the-shelf technology you're talking about. Go ahead, Chris. Are you with us, Chris?
Yeah, how you guys doing?
Good.
Good. Hey, I just wanted to mention to your listeners, if they want to see the rising of the police state, all they need to do is go down to the Salt Lake City community college, the Larry Miller campus.
Mm-hmm.
Go in there and watch some of the activities the police officers are participating in there. They're all on their military garb, and as far as I'm concerned, a city cop, a sheriff, none of them belong in the military attire. And, I mean, they're down there with gas masks on. They're doing urban combat training, and it's not, you know, it's not being talked to them for no reason. I mean, they're...
Hey, Chris, I was on Traverse Drive. Is it Traverse Road or Traverse Drive? You know, that,
yeah.
that long sloping road down in Draper. And I saw a whole gaggle of them in battle dress in the sort of wooded, prairie, unpopulated, undeveloped stretch of that road doing something like you're talking.
Bulletproof vest. They had about 30 of them over... in Draper, and Draper's only supposed to have like 5 policemen. I'm like, where'd these guys come from? What's going on? I'm seeing this all over the place, my friend. So why are they doing it at a college? That's the question.
Well, I'm not sure, but they've also got the Unified Police Department over there, and you go in there and you will see sheriff's cars from all of the small counties in the state. So, I mean, it's not just being taught to the guys around town here. Whatever they're doing, they're pushing this on all of the sheriffs from all of these smaller towns. So,
we know that the surrounding counties are in the same situation with the districting, with the police powers being given over to the unified police. That's happening in all of the surrounding counties. So, literally, this place is... fastly becoming a police state, and you're wrong in your assumption that these guys shouldn't be militarized because they're federal police now. Federal police, and that's why they're militarized.
Yeah, it's a little rhetorical point. Chris, of course, you know you're tagged and bagged. I congratulate you on your courage for calling, but you are now, you know, this program is used as an intelligence sink or a data collection point, but I guess you knew that before you called.
Well, I'm okay with that. You know, I mean, I'd rather know I'm ready. And you know, I mean, hey, going out with the blaze of glory.
That's right. Get your people together and be smart and be discreet and frankly stealthy in your conversations and in your disposition, your whereabouts, and all the rest of it. It's too bad Patriots have to talk like that, but that's where we're at. Any final thought, Chris, before we move on?
You guys keep doing a good job and get in there as often as possible. The radio station is a good source for us to gather and share our thoughts, and I appreciate you guys.
All right, we appreciate you, Chris, and I've always enjoyed your calls. I've found them gratifying, let me put it that way. Let's talk to, I think we have Mike, and then we're going to get to Ben. Ben, hold with me, and we'll get to you, Mike.
Oh, hi. Yeah, I had a comment about the Unified Police, but Dale, you're on a pretty good. Interesting, because it's interesting as opposed to the politically correct dribble they spew over at KSL, you know.
Okay.
But
thank you.
This guy Bob from Pocatello, he calls up a lot, and I'm just wondering what kind of radio he has to be able to get K-Talk way up in Pocatello, because I can't get it very well in Salt Lake Valley.
Somebody told me Uncle Bob has a long line antenna of some kind. I don't know.
Oh, does he? I was wondering. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, and you might please, if I got this straight, I haven't read anything about it, but so like the sheriff is like the smaller areas like Murray and Midvale and are getting rid of their police and having unified police, right?
Some are, some aren't. I'm going to get myself in trouble here, but I think Midvale is still separate, last I heard.
Okay, yeah.
And somebody can call in and correct me on that if I am wrong. Many municipalities in the valley have joined the army.
Okay. You know what? And what's important to understand is before any of this unified police department stuff happened, they already unified the jurisdiction. So state police, highway patrol, and county and city police already have multi-jurisdictional. They are a multi-jurisdictional task force.
So they did that on a state level. Huh?
So the unification is just sort of the cream of the pie, where it unifies all of these separate entities into one giant force. So the concept of multi-jurisdictional doesn't even mean anything because it's all one jurisdiction.
Okay.
And jurisdiction is very important to your freedom.
And then, like, in the unincorporated areas, the counties, they're going to have unified police. Is that it? Instead of the sheriff?
Say again?
So then in the unincorporated areas, the county, rather than the sheriff, they're going to have unified police?
They already do, yes.
Okay.
But don't mistake that, because each city will eventually succumb to this, because this is the federalization of police, and they want this entire city under one force. So,
okay, and then if, well, if they behave, you know, if they're good police, you know, it might be all right, but then they probably did it originally. They say, well, this will save us all this money, and then once they get it set up, then they use it as an excuse to raise more money, right?
Yeah, essentially. The concept of good police, the only police that could be good would be a sheriff, an elected police force, where the sheriff is appointing deputies or appointing a posse. Or, in my case, I believe we need to bring back the militias, because the militias have no state interest, only an interest to protect the people against the state. And that is the difference. Your police now are there to protect the government.
As long as they're responsible, you know, as long as they report to the people, you know, at least the legislature ostensibly reports to the people, you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
The word, thanks for your call, Mike. I really appreciate it. We're a little pressed for time and have other callers waiting, so we'll let you off into the ether. I guess the fancy English word for what we have in place of a sheriff is a titular service, a sheriff, with a sheriff in name only, and that office holder will come and go, but the UPD will always be there until the rug gets beat a little bit.
Until,
you know,
it's militarized, literally, where it's part of, like, they'll be able to be called out of state to protect some other state. Yeah, the easiest way to understand this, it's so simple, really, when you break it down like this. The police we have now are there to protect the government from the people, whereas a militia is there to protect the people from the government. You see the difference.
Yep, I can see holes in you right now, Clint. Let's talk to... Oh, Ben, you didn't hold with me. Let me try it one more time. Ben, are you there? No. Okay, something going wrong with the Utah County line. And then we're going to revert to unscreen calls. Two open Salt Lake lines, 801-254-5855. Get you on the air. Salt Lake City, you're with us now.
Yes, morning. It was just announced on Fox News that Harry Reid tabled the cut cap and balance. They didn't even bring it to a vote. He says he's not going to waste his time, and the Senate is not going to vote. It passed the House 3 days ago, but our friend in the Senate, Harry Reid, decided he's not even going to bring it to a vote, and he tabled it. So,
well, that might spell some trouble. The nabobs aren't going to be able to come together for another phase of the stage
what
play, Clint. It's the group, what is it, the Gang of Six, that has this idea of tell me the phrase again, caller. Cap and it's a three-word phase, and for some reason it's escaping me right now.
They ought to add privatize, but the Republicans are trying to pass, which they did in the House, cut, cap, and balance.
Yes.
And the Senate, Harry Reid, just tabled it. He says he's not even going to bring it to a vote.
Right.
Okay, so we're talking about the debt ceiling?
Yeah.
Let me just tell you, I want you to go out and personally find the law or wording or anything that says there is a debt ceiling. There is no debt ceiling. That's a ridiculous concept, but it fools the people.
Wait a minute. We'll give you a chance, caller. We'll give you a chance. Let's let Clint finish, and then you can respond.
No, just there is no debt ceiling. This is just masquerading, as they always do on every other subject. There is no debt ceiling. You're talking about a corporation that makes its own rules.
All right, caller.
Decided that there is not even going to be a vote, and so why he thinks he has that authority or the right to do that is beyond me.
All right, thanks.
In yesterday's Wall Street Journal, they had an article about Canada has turned their budget around. They were faced with big deficits and overspending about a decade ago, and they turned over a lot of their spending to private enterprise, and they privatized a lot of their budget, and now they're running a surplus. And if somebody wants to look at it, it's in yesterday's Wall Street Journal.
All right, caller, thanks. We're pressed for time really badly. Thanks for your input today. Let's talk to at least one last caller, an unscreened call in Salt Lake City. Go ahead. Salt Lake City.
Yeah, it's, they don't have all these armored personnel carriers for nothing. Even Draper City's got one. Pocahontas Bob picks you up there with his giant Tesla coil that amplifies his antenna. Okay. All right. See you.
Thank you.
No, all right. Tesla. All right. Tesla does not exist. There is no Tesla. There is no alternative energy. No. Go back to your electricity.
Let's get back to normal here. Okay. Now I've got the sheep around me. I feel a lot more secure. No, I need more of that. More. Oh, gosh, all of this combative talk
better.
Was...
Jeez, it's amazing how that makes you feel better.
Sheep may safely graze on pastures when their shepherd guards them well. Isn't that the Bach tune? Anyway, we're down to a minute. Clint, any final thoughts? Never know if and when we're going to be back.
You know, like I said, red alert, red alert, red alert. This is not going to end. You're going to see this continue. They're going to take two steps ahead, then take one step back. They're going to get exactly what they want, and then they're going to do it again. And unless we stand up now, it's going to get to the point where we won't be able to stand up. I'm sorry. I'm calling for revolution here. That's the God honest truth.
Well, that's how it works. They'll keep us... they'll keep us in this illusion, well drugged up, thinking that we have representative government and that it's our fault, our laxity.
The protected records mm-hmm. alone tells you do not have a representative government.
That's right. And then so they'll keep us in that soma. It's soma, isn't it? Isn't that
we
the
are the soma generation?
Yeah. Well, they'll keep us on that drug of that illusion, and right up until the point where it gets so outrageous, where they're pulling our neighbors out of their homes for some silly. On some silly pretext, and then maybe we'll do some.
Once again, I'd like to invite everybody to go to YouTube and type in the Great Pension Fund Hoax and watch the latest movie.
Stay tuned for When Wall Street Meets Main Street.